Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 90 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I am super excited to talk to Rodney Scott from Rodney Scott Barbecue in Charleston, South Carolina. I've been trying to do this interview for a long time, and we finally got it put together. Rodney's in his car, the only place that's quiet, and it's a great one. He's such a cool guy. He's straightforward about everything. We talk about his early days when he was 11 years old, when he first cooked a whole hog. We talk about the process. We talk about about Hemingway, where he first started off, and then branching out to Charleston, about Sam Jones and meeting Sam Jones for the first time at a Charleston Wine and Food and Big Apple Barbecue. It's jam-packed. It's about 20 minutes of barbecue bliss for me. At the very end, we do talk about a Charleston episode. I believe it's a second Charleston episode of Parts Unknown, the Anthony Bourdain show for CNN. And I had recently, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, watched the episode. If you haven't seen that episode, go to Netflix or Hulu and check it out. It's an amazing episode, and Rodney Scott's in it. So I wanted to ask about Anthony Bourdain. So he talks a little bit about him, and he gives a piece of advice that Anthony Bourdain gave him, which is, it's just great. Great advice. It's very Anthony Bourdain. So I think you're going to love that. If you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you can have access to all of them. There's 90 of these now. So I think a lot of the podcast networks only let you hear 20 if you're not subscribed. So you want to make sure you catch all the back episodes. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all my podcasts. I also have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. On the website and on the YouTube channel, you can find a lot more content, the actual video footage of this interview, as well as a bunch of other interviews. Thanks so much. Enjoy. Basically, what I'm trying to do with these interviews, I'm trying to celebrate barbecue as well as kind of document barbecue world as it is today. And okay. Just want to kind of like briefly go over your history, go over the whole hog, and then kind of like what's going on now, like, and also Charleston a little bit, and then what you got in the future. Of course, there's that James Beard thing that is amazing. Congratulations. I'm so happy for you. That I couldn't be more happy. And it's funny, and all these people that you probably don't even know were like so happy for you. It was so great.
Man, it was an amazing ride. I'm still riding high off of that.
Yeah. And all together, like, this whole thing has probably been a pretty amazing ride.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. To grow up working in barbecue and to have it now at this level is just amazing.
And it shows that, I think it's that, you know, that silly thing, but it shows that hard work pays off.
It does.
It sounds like something just to say, but it's not. I don't think it's definitely true.
It definitely pays off.
Yeah. And you're still smiling, which is
amazing. Yeah.
Well, let's go back. I guess we kind of just jumped into it. What's a usual day like for you? Like, what's today looking like?
Man, today I come in, check on everything, make sure my staff is in place, check on the proteins, check on the sides. Just kind of start off slow with a lot of good mornings, checking on my wood supply, sauce, you know, the basic barbecue stuff.
Now, you're based, do you live in Charleston?
Yeah, I'm now in Charleston.
And you said, like, from what I've read, you started cooking whole hog at 11?
Started cooking whole hog at 11 years old, yes.
Did your father start the restaurant?
It was my father. It was a little side gig to do barbecue, and we had like a little general store, you know, out in the country. Yeah. And barbecue was that extra thing on a Thursday that we did, selling barbecue sandwiches. And we went from barbecue sandwiches on Thursday to doing it on Fridays, Saturdays. And then we went from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And was it always an idea to do whole hog, or did you think, well, we'll do pork shoulder or pork butt? Like, was that something that you had, like, why whole hog?
Well, whole hog was all that we did, you know, and growing up in the country, a lot of people had hogs. So it was one of the easiest things to get a hold to, and, okay, and one of the cheapest, you know? So I'm guessing that, you know, people that in the area that knew whole hog and cooked whole hog, if you're going to take an animal out, why not cook the whole thing?
Gotcha.
And from what I remember growing up, a whole hog would either be cooked on a pit or made into sausage for you know, winter foods.
Did your family know how to build a pit, or was that something that everyone kind of in that area knew how to do?
Oh man, that area is so creative. It would blow your mind. You have people using old refrigerators. You have people digging holes in the ground.
Oh, that's...
You had people using cinder block just to build pits. You know, it was whatever you could find pretty much that could support a hog for 8 to 12 hours that people built just to cook hogs on. So it pretty creative area.
And then, but your guys, was your first pit, was it a cinder block pit?
The first pit that I learned on was the one that I cooked on when I was 11 was an old drum, like an oil drum.
Oh.
That was made into a pit. And then I went from that to the cinder block pit.
Were you there when they were building that first pit?
Yeah, I was there. Yeah, when we first built that cinder block pit, I was right there. And I watched the guy build it from the ground up. And I said, wow, what is this going to do? You know, how is this going to be different? And it was different and it was better.
And at that time, did you at all appreciate what you guys were doing? Like, were people coming in from other, like out really far outside the area, or was it mostly people locally?
We had a bunch of locals. And then there were a few people that were from the area that would come home and visit that would just kind of drop in from time to time whenever we were cooking hogs, mostly locals.
And would you sell out at those times?
Not really. No. I mean, it's a tiny town.
Yeah.
So we sold out from time to time, but not always. You know, it would tend to be a hog would be left over, you know, maybe 10, 12 pounds or so, maybe left over out of a whole hog, you know, that kind of thing.
And would you kind of divvy that out to friends and family kind of thing, or use it for other stuff?
Mostly friends and family would take it home and put it on grits the next morning for breakfast. So it would be like pork and grits for breakfast.
Was it the New York Times article that kind of put you into the national spotlight?
It was definitely a New York Times article that put us in the national spotlight. You know, that article went out and the phone started ringing and it never stopped.
And that was kind of like when barbecue was starting to get bigger all across the country, right?
I want to say it was during that time. You know, I started hearing a lot of people, you know, that went into barbecuing and a lot of new guys that were starting to learn the old traditional ways of doing it. And for me, I just started paying attention to how many people that were talking about barbecue. I never had any clue that many people were excited about barbecue when that article came out.
Yeah, because you weren't like me from Los Angeles, like looking on the internet, like using probably Yahoo at the time, just trying to find anything because you were in it. You're deep in it.
Yeah, I was just cooking, man, trying to pay the bills, you know.
And so you at that time, like when you said you went from like then you went to Wednesday to Saturday. When was it the Charleston Food and Wine that was the kind of the next step? Was that the next? I'm trying to figure out your progression.
Charleston Wine and Food was definitely the next step. They introduced me down there as one of the local pit masters in South Carolina. And, you know, it got the attention of quite a few chefs and locals around Charleston. And they started to make the trek up to Hemingway, where I used to be all the time. So, and it just kept trending, you know, going on and on and on. Barbecue kept trending. And they were like, well, who do we know that can cook barbecue? And me being one of the locals in South Carolina, Charleston would always recommend, hey, this guy is one of them.
And was that menu when you met Sam Jones?
That's when I met Sam Jones the next year. Well, Sam Jones, everybody. Sam Jones. Sam Jones.
It's funny because I was actually watching. I interviewed him, and he was sitting like in a workshop with like a gun locker behind the, and his gun safe. He talked about the story. I think when he first met you, but it was interesting. His stories. He could tell these long stories that are wonderful and amazing. But he's just as good a storyteller as he is at cooking barbecue.
He's a great dude, Sam Jones.
That's so funny. Yeah, I think that he had talked about how he was even nervous coming to that. I think that first event because
he was a little nervous. You know, he went through the same thing I went through. First time cooking away from home, and here it is, all these people around. You're expecting this great product, so you definitely want to produce the best that you can.
So you were nervous for that first one too.
Oh yeah, I was super nervous. Super nervous. I still get nervous every cook.
Do you think that's good for you that you're nervous because you're still excited about it?
Yeah, I feel like it's a good thing. I don't like the feeling of the nervousness before, but I feel like it's a good thing. You know, you kind of like the rabbit and the tortoise. I like to refer to that. You know, you want to stay slow and steady. You don't want to get that confidence and think you got it and lose the race.
True.
You know, I'd rather stay slow and steady and kind of make sure that everything is consistent.
Yeah, I think that's when people get like too at ease that they make mistakes or don't care anymore.
Oh yeah, I'm never at ease. I
No.
have an event in a few days, and I'm nervous about it already.
Just like
So that.
I was nervous to talk to you.
Oh man, don't be nervous about
I'm not
me.
nervous. No, I was at first just because no, because I really respect what you're doing and I really appreciate what you're doing and I
Thank
appreciate your time. And I was just like excited, nervous because I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, but I'm fine. After this first second, I'm like, okay, he's just the coolest guy. He's a normal guy. Like, oh, so then Big Apple Barbecue, was that kind of the
Oh
next?
man, Big Apple Barbecue was life changing. First time I did that just went over the top. That was the real deal.
Do you remember which year it was that who was out that first year that you were at?
It was Pat Martin was
Oh,
there.
Pat was there.
Ed Mitchell was there.
Oh, Ed was there. That was earlier.
Yep. It was quite a few people there.
Yeah, and it's also it's that's a different type of exposure, that New York exposure, because I guess you got New York Times and then this is a whole other level.
Yeah, Mike Mills was there. Jimmy Haygood was there.
Was Blue Smoke?
Blue Smoke was definitely there. They pretty much controlled the event, seemed like,
Oh,
because
that's yeah.
everything wrapped around their restaurant that weekend. So it was like Blue Smoke was the host. It was man, that propelled us even further.
And then do you think, like, were you starting to, at like this time, were you starting to see cars from other states appear, like license plates from other states? Was that starting to
Yeah.
happen?
Man, cars start coming in. RVs started pulling up.
Oh, people doing like barbecue treks and things?
Yeah, they were doing barbecue treks. One little minivan pulled up with a small couch in it. And it was a group that was going across the country trying to find barbecue. And it's you've seen some of the weirdest things show up. People from Massachusetts, Wisconsin, you see all these cars from other states. Just started pulling into Hemingway.
Doing the Charleston wine and food, is that what made you think, well, did you kind of fall in love with Charleston and think I could open up a restaurant here? Or what was the impetus for that?
Not at first. At first, I was like, this is a great place to hang out. I like Charleston.
Yeah.
And the thoughts of opening a restaurant here were far beyond me at the in the beginning. And then I decided, you know what? It's not a bad idea. I said, if I could, I would in Charleston. And the opportunity came up, and here we are.
What was that first? Were you nervous for that too? Was that something that, 'cause that's a
Oh
big
man,
venture.
yes, very, very nervous. Coming into a new city, already having some barbecue people here, I was nervous, very
Yeah.
nervous.
What can you tell people what the difference food-wise it is from your restaurant in Charleston versus Hemingway?
Charleston versus Hemingway is we got a larger menu here. We got catfish on the menu. We got smoked wings here. We're doing spare ribs here. Banana pudding is our dessert. We have French fries here, fresh cut fries,
Oh wow. And there's a steak
mac and
too, isn't there
cheese.
some kind of like
Oh man, yeah, there's a steak sandwich here that's very popular with us. It's a ribeye cut steak sandwich with cheese, onions, lettuce, tomato, and mayo. I like to nickname it the Southern cheesesteak, the Southern Philly cheesesteak.
That's great. Is that an everyday item or is that a special?
That's an everyday item.
Oh.
Yep, all of those are everyday items.
And then are you making additional, like, how many sides do you have in Hemingway?
In Hemingway, it was just mostly coleslaw, beans, and bagged pork skins.
Okay. And you have greens in Charleston, right?
Yeah, we got greens here, baked beans, coleslaw, mac and cheese. We got the works.
And then hour-wise, hours, what are the hours in Charleston?
The hours in Charleston are from 11 to 9.
11 to 9. Every day a week?
Every day, 7 days a week. Don't you get hungry 7 days a week?
I do, yeah. That's
Hey, so we gotta feed you 7 days a week, 11 to 9.
I get hungry 7 days. Someone also said too, like I pay rent 7 days a week, so I should be open 7 days
Yeah.
a week.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. You gotta pay the rent.
And then but for Hemingway, what days of the week are you guys open now?
Hemingway is actually Wednesday through Saturday.
Okay, okay. So
When I made the move down here to Charleston, I turned Hemingway business was turned back over to my folks.
okay.
So Charleston is my seed, if you will. It's the new beginning, of Rodney Scott. Kind of left the family business and came over to Charleston to open up, spread my wings.
I know that it changed the whole scene in Charleston, which is wonderful because whole hog is something special.
Oh yeah, it is. It's a lot of work too.
And how many hours? Is it 11, 12 hours for a whole?
11, 12 hours average on a whole hog.
And are you getting your hogs from somewhere specific, like one place?
We got one guy that we're dealing with right now. He's been great to us.
Yeah, how great is that?
Oh man, it's amazing because you know who you're gonna call. You know?
How much are you going? How many hogs are you going through a week?
Oh, we go through at least 14 a week right now.
Wow.
Minimum of about 14.
That's so crazy. So what's up with Birmingham?
Birmingham is about to launch. Birmingham is ready to get started. I'm ready to get started in Birmingham. We're looking to open in January.
Oh, wow.
Birmingham, get the smoke going and the pigs out the door, man. We're ready to feed Birmingham and all the surrounding states.
Why did you choose Birmingham? Is there a specific reason? Did you travel there a lot, or just made sense, or?
Like Charleston, I travel to Birmingham a lot. And my partner lives down there as well.
Okay.
And the opportunity in real estate came about, and I said, "Hey, man, this would be a great spot. You know, it's not too far of a it's a good drive, but it's not so far that I can't handle it." So I was like, "Hey, look, Birmingham would be a great idea. Let's do it."
How far is that from Charleston, roughly?
It's 6.5 hours legally.
So 5.5.
Yeah, legally.
Six. Okay, that makes sense. So, will that be the same? Is it the same concept? So it'll be 7 days a week, same menu.
Exact same concept, same menu, same style of cooking. The pit house will be right there on site, so which means the hogs will come off right there on site.
Oh wow, that's and then will you be using the same guy?
Oh yeah,
Oh yeah.
same guy.
Wow. Now, I had heard and I read somewhere, but I don't know if this is just a rumor. New York, maybe someday?
Maybe, you know, not in
That's
the
the
immediate future, but
All right.
maybe,
But
you
they,
know.
but it could you could branch out and have additional ones in the South, right?
Definitely, definitely. We plan to, man. We plan to have as many as we can. Let's feed the world
Yeah.
barbecue, you know.
Okay, so I can break I can I break the news that you'll be opening one in Los Angeles in 2020? Please.
Well, I mean, that's another place I visited quite a bit.
I
I
know.
can't I can't say yes, and I won't say no.
I don't know the whole the way that you design your pit room. I don't know if you could do that here in Los Angeles legally. I
Oh
don't
man,
know.
it's I don't know. I don't know. LA may not like that.
If you could figure out New York and their regulations, you could figure out in a lot of big cities like Los Angeles.
Well, hopefully we can, you know. Hopefully we can.
I wanted to ask too about the James Beard Award. What was that like? And congratulations.
Thank you. Oh man, that was so shocking. They had to tell me to get out of my seat that night to go up to receive the award. That's how shocking it was. It was an amazing feeling to go up there, and that's something I dreamed about before, because I went to another ceremony once before,
Okay.
and I dreamed about walking that stage, and never had a clue that it would happen to me.
Wow.
For it to happen, man, it was amazing.
And what is that night like? Do you go there? Forgive me, because I don't know. But do you go there? Do you go there not knowing if you won?
Yeah, you go not knowing.
Okay.
It's just like it's like the biggest awards that you may see on TV, you know.
Yeah.
You walk in there, you hit the red carpet, you say hello to people, you're a nominee, and a lot of folks know that you're a nominee. And you go to your seat and they call out the nominees and the category, and they announce the winner once the envelope opens. So you don't find out until they open that envelope, and
That must have been
it
so
was,
surreal. That must have been crazy.
oh my goodness, man, that night was amazing. I could not eat. I wasn't drinking. I needed a drink, but I wasn't drinking.
Makes
But
sense.
afterwards, man, all the emotions slowed down just a little bit, enough to get a drink and a sandwich.
And to enjoy that. What sandwich did you have?
I had a burger. We
Oh.
went to the spot, and it was a cheeseburger, and that was perfect.
That's a lot of times
Perfect.
a burger. I was going to ask you like a silly question just to find out what kind of food do you like other than barbecue? What's your go-to in Charleston? What's a fun like a like not like Husk or like a high-end place, but what's a place that you like to go to just for your basic like say you're starving, you want food.
Nana Seafood and Soul.
Okay.
Oh man,
What do you
this
get
guy named
there?
Kenyatta, him and his mom, they oh my goodness, the seafood is just amazing.
Is it fried?
It's fried, it's boiled. I mean,
Ah,
he has it all,
wow.
so you got a choice.
And that's in Charleston.
Yeah, garlic shrimp, fried
Oh.
shrimp. It's great. You got to check it out if you're ever in Charleston.
Oh, for sure. No, I'll check it out for sure. Well, I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing, and from the barbecue community, we appreciate your passion and your kindness and your hard work. It's something that we all value.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I can't wait to go to Charleston. I'm excited. And from what I've seen, and I wanted to actually touch on too, I recently watched the Anthony Bourdain episode.
Yeah.
What was that like? And do you have any thoughts on Anthony Bourdain? I've never had a chance to ask anybody since he passed.
Man, I've always loved Anthony Bourdain before I met him. And when I did finally meet him, we had a nice discussion about, you know, life, TV recordings, food, and people we've met along the way. Mm-hmm. And he was a great guy, nonchalant, laid back, you know, just straight up cool. Mm-hmm. And I said, I would love to get the opportunity to feed him. And he said to me, let's do something together. And a year later, we recorded the episode, and he enjoyed it. We had fun. We sat there and talked as if we'd known each other for 100 years, man.
That's what it seemed like. It just seemed like a great conversation.
He was that kind of guy. And when I heard that he had passed, I was in New York getting ready to do Big Apple. And when I found out, it was a tough day.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, he gave me some advice when I first met him. He said, don't eat the shit sandwich. And I was like, what is that? He said, don't let society control you with what you do, be it on TV or be it in your everyday restaurant. He says, just don't eat the shit sandwich.
That is amazing advice. That's great. That's a great takeaway from this. And I haven't heard that before, but that's.
Yeah. Sorry if it's a family show.
But no, hey, not at all. No, I'll say at the beginning. Like that, it is. I've talked to some people that at the beginning, they said, is it okay if I just swear the and I'm like, oh, okay. but that is great advice, and it's important. It's hard to get away from that. It's hard to get away from the noise. And I'm sure you have a lot of people chomping at you and constantly, right?
It's crazy. Some of the calls and emails that you may get or visits you may get. Yeah. But you know, that advice has always stuck with me, and that's what I live by.
Well, that's great advice, and that's a great kind of way to end this. And thank you so much for sitting in your car doing this. I so appreciate it. And
thank you. I appreciate it.
I look forward to seeing you soon.
Come on down, Rodney Scott's Barbecue. One location right now, one near you.
That's true. If someone's watching this in a few years, they'll be like, "There's one around the corner." What?
Yeah.
All right. Well, take it easy. Have a great week.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Thanks so much.